Good morning or good afternoon, depending on whether your clock says a minute to 12 or a minute past 12. We're here at our weekly shiur for the American program in Halacha, the Jewish law. We started speaking last week about the different blessings, Birkos HaShachar, the blessings that we make every single day when we wake up. And we spoke about and we emphasized the importance of these brachas because they allow us to recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us everything that we have and we can't take anything for granted. The ability to move, to breathe, to see, to hear, to be able to go to the bathroom. All those things which we take for granted, once they're taken from us, only then do we start realizing how much we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single thing we have. Now, in a sense, every single one of us has got a small factor in his life which does not function properly. I once heard Rav Shlomo Wilber, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the eldest mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, and he said that every single person is a cripple in some sense. Because we all have a problem. Some of us have a physical problem. Some of us have an emotional problem. Some of us have a mental problem. Some of us have a family problem. Some of us have a financial problem. We're all crippled in some sense. So there's no person who can wake up and say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, I have everything, and I don't really feel that I need to ask for anything else. So the Birkos HaShachar allow us to recognize all these things. Today we're going to start getting into the actual practical halachas of Birkos HaShachar. When we wake up in the morning, we said the first thing that we say is Moideh Ani Lefanecha, Melech Chai VeKayam, Sheichazarta Binishmati BeChemla. Now here we've got to make a pause. Rabba Emunatecha. It's interesting that in Moideh Ani, how many words are there? Okay, count. No. How many words? What? Very good. 12 words. Modeh ani lefanecha melech chai vekayam shechazarta bi nishmati vechemla rabba emunatecha. Why am I saying this? A couple of years ago, there was a very big convention of doctors. I think the convention was held in America. And in there, one of the doctors said that when you wake up, it is very dangerous to get up suddenly. You have to lie down for a couple of seconds and allow the body to get reposition itself, and only then you can get up. Because why? He said if you get up too quickly, it can cause a flow of blood up to the brain, can sometimes even cause a blood clot, and it's dangerous. And he said there that researchers have shown that you need 12 seconds to wait before you get up and you get up straight. Now, I'm saying this, I had a chavrusa who was my roommate. You've never seen anything like this. I mean, this guy, the clock goes off, and he's it's unbelievable. I mean, every single morning that was something phenomenal. Just seeing him, I remember I used to wake up earlier than him. And you see him every single day. He wakes up, you hear the clock, and he's up. Unbelievable. Now, the doctors say it's not healthy. They said 12 seconds. Someone picked up his hand and he said, well, I want to tell you something. According to the Jewish law, every single morning you have to say a sentence with 12 words before you get out of bed. Because Moideh Ani, you say when you open your eyes, even before you've done Negel Vasa. Moideh, now it just shows you how slow you've got to say every single word. Moideh Ani Lefanecha Melech Chai VeKayam Shechezarta Bi Nishmati BeChemla. Pause. Rabba Emunatecha. 12 words. First thing we open our day with is saying thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just shows us the importance of gratitude. Now, after we say Moideh Ani, we said we do Negel Vasa, we spoke about how important it is to have the bowl and the water next to your bed. There's a big inyan in it, according to Kabbalah, even according to Halacha, not getting up and walking more than Dalet Amos. Dalet Amos is approximately 2 meters. Don't walk 2 meters without washing your hands. And it is a very good thing to instill in the house that every single boy and girl and the parents next to their bed have a bowl with a Negel Vasa where they wash their hands. Now, it says in the Siddurim, if you look in the Siddur, it says that the first bracha that you've got to make is Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Al Metilat Yadayim. But we are not allowed yet to make any bracha when we wake up. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Barachin nafshi et Hashem, v'chol kiravai et Shem kodesho." My soul shall bless and thank Hashem, and all my kravai means intestines. It means the internal organs, and all my internal organs too will praise the name of Hashem. Now, when we wake up, our body is not clean. We need, first thing to do when we wake up in the morning, our body needs to go, we need to go to the bathroom, and we need to let all the waste come out. So when we wake up in the morning, we do not make any bracha whatsoever. We do negel vasa, we wake up, we then go to the bathroom, we brush our teeth. Why do we brush our teeth? It's not just for hygienic reasons, it's also for halachic reasons. Because halachically, when we wake up before we make Birkos HaShachar, we need to wash our face, mostly our eyes, because we have what's called sleepy dust in the eyes. It's not mechubadik. We're now coming to praise Hashem. Imagine if every single morning you were a servant, okay, in some royal family. You were a servant to the Queen of England. And every single day you had to wake up in the morning and, "My Queen, I'd like please to read you today's schedule." And you came running with your pajamas, with your sleepy dust, with your stinking breath. And you're saying, "My Queen, I'd like to read you the daily schedule." So that would be probably the last day that you worked in the royal court. And if the Queen had the ability, which Baruch Hashem she doesn't have, it would be off with your head. So when you're coming to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you first thing got to do, we wash our face, especially wash our eyes. We've also got to wash our mouth. Our mouth has got to be clean. Now, in ancient times, when there was no such thing as toothpaste, so washing out your mouth was enough. Today, when you have toothpaste, you should wash your mouth and brush your teeth properly so that your breath smells proper and nice. We've always got to put this in our mind. We need to stand in front of Hashem just like you would stand in front of a rov or a prominent person. In the same way, in the same manner, in the same dignity and respect. So you wouldn't go now to an important interview without making sure that you brushed your teeth. Don't go thanking Hashem before you made sure you brushed your teeth. After we've come out of the bathroom, again, when we come out of the bathroom, we wash our hands. Why do we wash our hands a second time? We wash our hands because we just now went into the bathroom. Now, there's a big discussion among today's poskim. What do we do about our bathrooms if you just went into the bathroom, you didn't do anything there? For example, in many bathrooms today, the washing machine is inside the bathroom or it's a porch coming out of a bathroom. It's something very common here in Israel. It's called the Mirpeset Shirut, a service balcony. So you've got to walk through the bathroom to the service balcony. On the service balcony, you'll normally have the washing machine, the dryer, the washing lines. What do you do if you just walked past through the bathroom? Do you have to wash your hands or not? Many poskim say, yes. The bathroom itself as a room is not considered to be a clean room. Now, this has got nothing to do with hygiene. This has got to do with spiritual cleanliness. The bathroom is considered to be a place which has in it foul, negative spiritual spirits. But, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman Oibach Zecher Tzadik Livracha, if you just walked into the bathroom and you didn't do anything there, you just walked as a passage, or you came to take something from there, you do not have to wash your hands when you come out. Why? Our bathrooms today, compared to what existed 100 years ago, are completely clean. They're spotless. Now, in order to get a good example of that, come to Uman and go to one of the old houses, and then you'll really see what an old ancient bathroom was. The first year that I went to Uman, I couldn't believe a place like this existed. The bathroom was outside, in the yard. And you can imagine what that obviously means. I mean, it's a typical Ukrainian Russian bathroom. It's unbelievable how backwards those people are there, at least in some of the areas. Today, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, our bathrooms are completely clean. But he does add something, and he says that people should be makpid to make sure that the bathroom seat, the toilet seat, is always put down. Why? Because that way we're separating the actual toilet from the whole bathroom area. And since the toilet is relatively clean, especially today, the materials that we use, all the detergents that we use, everything is clean, he says you do not have to wash your hands. Most Hasidim do not accept that. Most Hasidim are machmir, that even when they go into the bathroom, they do wash their hands. If you don't have a vessel, you don't have to wash your hands with a vessel. You can be makel. You just open the tap and wash your hands. In that case, that will be enough if a person just used the bathroom as a passageway. We come out of the bathroom. The first bracha that we say after we're clean, after we've washed our face, we've washed our mouth out, first bracha that we say is Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu al netilat yadayim. We make a special bracha that we're washing our hands. Now, why do we need to wash our hands three times in the morning? Several reasons were given for that. Reason number one, because when a person is sleeping, the Gemara in Maseches Bracha says that a person asleep is one of 60 of death. Which means, in a sense, when a person is sleeping, it is a sense of death. And the Midrash says that when a person sleeps, his soul goes up to the heavenly realm, it gets there everything that it needs for the coming day, it hears all the Shiur Torah, it gets its energy, its spiritual energy is re-entered into it, and only then it comes into the soul. So in a sense, a person was in a state of death, the spiritual death when he was sleeping, now he comes alive again. When a person is dead, the negative spiritual influences, the more livelihood anything has in it, the less negative spiritual influences it has. When a person is dead, the more spiritual, negative spiritual afflictions it has. How do we see that? We see that from Hilchas Tuma and Tara. What is considered to be the most impure thing in the whole world? What? A dead Jew. A dead body. That's why in Mishlei it says, Tov, lakelev hachai ma'ariya amet. A dog that's alive is much better than a lion that is dead. Who said this pasuk? The Gemara says in Tractate Shabbos on the 30th page that when David HaMelech died and he died on Shabbos, it was hot. It was a Shabbos day. They came to his son, Shlomo. And they asked Shlomo, who is now becoming the new king, what do we do? A person who's dead is mukta. He's got no livelihood in him. We can't move him from place to place. And he said, put on him a loaf of bread, and through the loaf of bread, you'll be able to move his bed to somewhere where there's shade. When a person dies, that is considered to be the peak of tumma, of impurity. Why? Simple. Because when something is dead, all the negative spiritual powers cling onto it. It's like a spiritual magnet. When we're sleeping, we just spoke about it, it's a sense of death. So all these spiritual influences, these negative spiritual influences, cling onto our bodies. When we wake up, we're alive again. The negative spiritual influences, they run away except for one place. And that place is the hands. That's why, reason number one, we wash it three times to remove the remains of those negative spiritual influences that we had while we were sleeping that are still in our hands. Reason number two, when we wake up, we are now planning to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are like Kohanim, like the priests in the Beis HaMikdash. Every priest in the Beis HaMikdash, what did he have to do before he started working in the Beis HaMikdash? There was a kior. A kior means a sink. Now, it's not our standard sink that we think. It was something very big that had taps all around it. And every priest had to put his hands on his legs, open the tap, and the water there would sanctify him by washing his hands and legs together. So since we're resembling priests now coming to work Hashem, worship Hashem in a new day, we wash our hands. Reason number three, since we have now, it's as if we've been reborn, we're like a Bria Chadosha. What do we know when a person who is a non-Jew and he becomes a Jew, what does he have to do in order to become a Jew? He goes to mikveh. He immerses himself in water. Now, since this is not exactly the case, but it's resembling, it says the Rosh, it's as if we were dead and now we've been reborn, we wash our hands. So several reasons. First bracha we make is Al Netilas Yadayim. Second bracha we make. This is a very, very important bracha, which many of the commentators took a lot of time to interpret every single word. And that is Birkas Asher Yatzar. It's the bracha that we make every single time that we come out of the bathroom. And we speak about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this unbelievable machine called the human body. Asher Yatzar et Adam b'chokhmah, he who created man with wisdom. Uvaravo nekavim nekavim. We have holes in our body. Some of the holes, if you'd clog them up, we die immediately. If you take a person and you block his breathing, okay, you block his nose and you block his mouth, he can't breathe. What happens to that person? What would you say, doctor? He dies. Interestingly, people don't know this, but people also breathe through their skin. How did they come to realize this? Unfortunately, many people who, through Halloween or through Purim here in Eretz Yisrael, used to take this body paint and they used to paint their whole bodies around, people suffered from suffocation. They had to be hospitalized because the skin also breathes through the pores. So in other words, we can see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built holes in our body that have got to be open. On the other hand, there are certain things that have constantly got to be closed. If they would constantly be open, that would be terrible. Imagine if your heart was open and the blood would come gushing out. I mean, the blood has got to stay inside the body. So we make a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanking Him for how incredible the human machine is. Unfortunately, this is one of the brachas that we say many times during the day, because every time we go to the bathroom, when we come out, we've got to say the bracha, and we've stopped thinking about the words that we say. Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings in the name of his father, the stipler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that any person who has got a physical problem, whether he's sick or whether he's not well, a sgula for health is to say the bracha, Asher Yatzarat HaAdam, slowly, meaning every single word, because this is a bracha that has got incredible spiritual power to bring refuah to a man. Why? How does the bracha end? What's the end of the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofe Chol Basar, He who heals all the flesh, Umafli La'asot, and does wonders. Which means the whole bracha is a bracha of refuah. After now we've been Asher Yotzar, we now come to three other stages of brachas. Now, there are differences in the different Siddurim, how we are now supposed to say the brachas, in what order. In most Siddurim, after saying Asher Yatzar, comes a bracha called Elokai Neshama Shnatata Bi Tehorai. Now, Elokai Shnatata Bi Tehorai is a bracha that doesn't open with a bracha. Notice, Asher Yatzar opens, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Yatzar. We start saying, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, we say the name of Hashem. Elokai Neshama doesn't open with the phrase Baruch Ata Hashem. So the Poskim say, you've got to put Elokai Neshama immediately after you've finished saying another bracha, so as if the end of the bracha, the Baruch Ata Hashem of the previous bracha, is considered to be the beginning of Elokai Neshama. In many Siddurim, it says that Elokai Neshama should be said right after Asher Yatzar. There are Siddurim, Art Scroll do this a lot. Art Scroll puts Elokai Neshama after Birkos HaTorah. Now, we're not going to get into why and the differences. We're going to go according to the standard Siddurim here in Eretz Yisrael, where Elokai Neshama is after Asher Yatzar. So after Asher Yatzar, we say Elokai Neshama. Now, in Asher Yatzar, we thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for the body. In Elokai Neshama, we are now thanking our Kodesh Baruch Hu for the soul. And that's one of the reasons why these two brachas should be together. What do we say to Hashem? We say to Him, my God, the soul that you have given me is pure. You're the one who puts it in my body. And we pray to Hashem for our soul. So that is another bracha that we have got to say slowly. All Birkos HaShachar have got to say with deep intent. You see many people, this is how they make Birkos HaShachar. They're getting up, yeah? And they ran out to shul. Now forget the fact that halachically that's forbidden. Because when you say a bracha, you're not allowed to say anything else. When you say a bracha, you're not allowed to do a single thing which disturbs you from understanding the bracha. You're not allowed to comb your hair. You're not allowed to look at your iPhone. You're not allowed to have an iPhone, but we're talking about the kosher one. Okay? You're not allowed to start saying to your wife, no, that's not the time. You're now making a bracha to Hashem. Concentrate on what you're doing. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu both for our soul. We say that very slowly. Stage 3. After we've thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our soul, we come to, well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, from my point of view, these are probably now the most important brachas of the day. We come to Birkas HaTorah. Now we come thanking Hashem that we have had the merit to learn the Holy Torah. Now, of course, there's no need to say that these brachas have got to be said, especially Birkas HaTorah. You have got to say it besimcha. You've got to be happy when you say it. We have this chus of learning Hashem's words, of learning the code of how Hashem built the world. The Zohar says, "Istakil be'oraita uvra alma." Hashem looked at the Torah, and this was the plan of how to build the world. We have this chus of learning the Holy Torah, and Birkos HaTorah have got to be said with a feeling of happiness, of joy, of gratitude to Hashem that we have the zchus of spending our days learning Torah. Now, in Birkos HaTorah, it's combined of two different brachas. One bracha is the one where we bench Hashem that He is allowing us to learn Torah, la'asok b'divrei Torah, The other brachas, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim venatan lanu et ha'Torah. We're thanking Hashem for choosing us out of all the nations in this world and giving the Torah to us. This is part of our heritage, learning Torah. We are not allowed to learn Torah before we make Birkos HaTorah. You have to make the bracha before you're allowed to learn Torah. And that, I must say, is one, for me, of the most difficult things. Because many times I wake up and the first thing I want to do is I want to check a shiloh that I have. And then stop, pause. You can't do that. You have got to make Birkos HaTorah first. The Mishnah Berurah says that every single parent should pray extensively and with deep meaning for his children, that he should have the merit that his children too shall be Talmidei Chachamim. Now he brings several parts in our morning prayers where we need to concentrate on the words. One of those parts is inside Birkos HaTorah. When we say to Hashem, V'niye anachnu v'tzeitzaeinu v'tzeitzaei tzeitzaeinu lomdei toratecha v'oskei toratecha lishma, when we say, please allow us and our children and our children's children, for all of them to be people who learn your Torah and who constantly live the Holy Torah, says the Mishnah Berurah, that is a part that has got to be said with even greater intention than the rest of the bracha. Because we are now praying for our children. Let me ask you a question. What greater nachas can a parent, who is a firm parent, have than seeing his child follow his footsteps? Being a firm, God-fearing person who's really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the Torah. So we've got to concentrate on that part. After we say Birkos HaTorah, we now start saying a portion of several psukim, a Mishnah and a Gemara. Why is that? The reason is, we have just now benched on Birkos HaTorah. Now we know that there's a rule in every single bracha, which is called Over Le'asiyatan. When you make a bracha, you made a bracha for something, you've now got to do the action that you've just made a bracha for. For example, imagine if I now hold an apple, and I say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Bore Peri Ha'etz. Nah, I don't fancy eating it now. Put it on the table, I go, I come back after, now and I take a bite. Is that allowed? Of course not. You just now made a bracha on eating an apple, you need to eat the apple immediately. And not only that, but there's a big discussion halachically, what happens if something happened and the apple fell and it rolled away and it took me time until I picked it up and until I ate it, do I have to make another bracha or not? It's the same thing with Birkos HaTorah. I have just now benched, thanking Hashem for the Holy Torah, and praying to Hashem that He will allow me to learn the Holy Torah, so I've got to learn Torah immediately. So what did Chazal do? In order to make sure that every single person will learn Torah immediately after Birkos HaTorah, they made a special portion combined of all the three main parts of learning Torah. Tanakh, Psukim from the Chumash, Mishnah, and a Braisa, a Gemara. So we start with saying the Psukim we know are the Birkas Kohanim. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yair Hashem pana v'lecha v'yichuneka. We then say the first Mishnah in Maseches Peah. The Mishnah is Eilu Dvarim She'en Laim Shi'ur. And then we say the Braisa brought in the Yerushalmi of Peah, again Eilu Dvarim She'en Laim Shi'ur, but the Braisa, the Gemara, adds on a few more things. So we finished that part, we've made Birkos HaTorah, we've benched, we've learned the Holy Torah, very good. We now come on to the last and final stage of Birkos HaShachar, and that is what is called Birkos HaShachar. It is a set of special brachas where we thank Hashem for everything that He has given us, for both our physical abilities, for the world. For example, we start saying, Hanoten lasechvi vina leavchim ben yom uvenayla. He who gives the rooster the intelligence, the ability to separate between the day and the night. Now, there are many interpretations. Why do we make such a bracha where we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing the rooster to differentiate between day and night? Why don't we make for allowing us to differentiate between day and night? One of the interesting interpretations that I heard, this is an interpretation that I heard in the name of the Gaon Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, who was one of the Gdolei Hador in his generation, both in Torah and in Musa. And he said very simply, he said, in ancient times, a person didn't have an alarm clock. What was your natural alarm clock in the times of the Gemara? The rooster. What is the first seif in the Shulchan Aruch? What is the person's first obligation? The first thing in the Shulchan Aruch says, wake up early. Wake up early. You need to wake up. There's a lot of things to do during the day. get ready, go to mikveh, get ready to daven, davening neitz is lekatchila. All other prayers are only b'diyeved. We all should try and aspire daven neitz. How would a person wake up? A person wakes up by hearing the rooster calling. That was the natural alarm clock. Which means the rooster was created to allow us to wake up early and to fulfill our obligation towards Hashem. And it's interesting, the rooster always calls, it's not innate. He doesn't call when it's neitzachama, mamish, when it's light. When does the rooster call? Near alois hashachar. In other words, it's still nighttime. Many times you'll hear the rooster calling. Yet, now, another interesting thing is, notice that people who live on farms, what is also, you'll always hear, if you live next to a farm and next to Lo Aleinu, may they all disappear very soon, next to an Arab village, where there's a mosque and a muazzin. So right near where the muazzin, where the rooster calls, you'll hear this, wah! Something like that. Well, we don't have to say their words, but we are terrible, I know. Especially if you live in areas that, we live here, in Malos Dafnam. Oh, when they're in the morning, they party. I mean, of course, they do it all quietly according to the law, yes. There was once in Hebron, I'm not saying that I justify it, but it was interesting to wake up that morning. A few boys broke into the mosque, and the muazzin today, most of the muazzins, they're not people anymore. They have a tape. They broke into the mosque, and they switched the tape. And they changed it from Mordechai Ben David's song, Hebron, Hebron, Me'azu Letamid Hebron. So instead of hailing, Allah! You hear this? Chevron, Chevron, Me'azu Letamid Chevron. All the Jews woke up on time that day, and all the Arabs were up also to see who was playing with their mosque. That caused a lot of political problems, but it was a day that Muslims will not forget. So the rooster calls not when it's late. The rooster calls about an hour before. Why? To allow you to get up on time. So we thank Hashem for allowing us, for creating the rooster to allow us to wake up on time to start our obligation as a Jew. The first thing in the Shulchan Aruch. We then start making different brachas. We thank Hashem for not making us a non-Jew, for not making us a slave. The bracha that men make is for not making us women. There are many interpretations why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't, why we make a bracha. Thanking Hashem, thank you Hashem for not making me a woman. Now many of the feminists try to cling on to this and say, oh, you can see Yiddishkeit is chauvinist. There are many interpretations. I have a very simple interpretation, and I think it is 100% correct in my opinion, and I heard this from my teacher, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Anyone who is married and whose wife is pregnant and went into labor, after going through the process of labor, he says, thank you so much for not making me a woman and not having to go through labor. Because, you know, research says, do you know what would happen if men had to be the ones becoming pregnant and giving birth? How many children would an average family have? Wrong. You say one. The answer is zero. You see, there'd be the one hero like you who would try it out, and then you'd tell all of us how terrible that was, and we'd say, thank you, we'll pass. Not even one. Which means, in one generation, the world would disappear. So Mordechai Eliyahu said, why do we make the bracha of Shelo Asani Isha? It's very simple, because we the men do not have the physical strength. Even though we tend to think of ourselves as the stronger species, it's not true. I'm really sorry. Women are much stronger than us. They're more persistent, they're much stronger. They may not be able to lift such heavy things, but their ability to bear pain and stress is much greater than ours, especially when it comes to mental issues. So very simple. Thank you Hashem for not making me a woman, because I wouldn't be able to bear it. Another explanation is we're going here according to the mitzvahs. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam shelo asani goy. How many mitzvahs does a goy have to uphold? 7. Avoid the Zorah, Giro Arvoyos, Shfichus Domim. And then the 4 other mitzvahs, their sign is Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Aleph, Evel Minachai, he's not allowed to eat an organ of a living animal. Bes, Birkas Hashem, is not allowed to curse using Hashem's name. Gimel, Gezel, he's not allowed to steal. Dalet, Dinim, he has to have a judicial system to run his life. Okay, a goy only has to do 7 mitzvahs. So thank you Hashem for not making me a goy. Then, thank you Hashem for not making me an Eved. An Eved, says the Mishnah, in Maseches Kiddushin, on the 29th page, first side, has got to uphold all the mitzvahs like a woman. But there are things that women are obligated that an Eved doesn't have to do. For example, some of the mitzvahs regarding Pesach, regarding freedom, an Eved is not a free person. So an Eved does less mitzvahs than a woman, more mitzvahs than a goy. Thank you, Hashem, for not making me a slave, and I can do more mitzvahs. Then we say, thank you, Hashem, for not making me a woman. A woman is obligated with less mitzvahs and commandments than a man is. We're thanking Hashem for giving us 613 commandments in order for us to amend our souls. And so we go on through all Birkos HaShachar until we eventually finish, and we thank Hashem for the last bracha is what? Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to wake up. Now, in many cases, that should be the first bracha a Jew should make. But unfortunately, most Jews don't wake up when they should wake up, so we keep it for the last. That's the last thing we do is, thank you, Hashem, Hamavir Sheina Me'einai, he who passes the sleep from my eyes, Utnuma Me'afapai. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to wake up. We've now gone just through the interpretation of Birkos HaShachar. Be'ezras Hashem, next week we're going to speak about the different halachas of Birkos HaShachar, most of them regarding to what happens if you happen to miss a bracha, or you said a bracha out of order. Until next week, may Hashem Be'ezrat Hashem give us all lots of simcha, happiness, and joy. May we have the schus of today, seeing Mashiach come and redeem Am Yisrael. And Be'ezras Hashem, next week on Thursday, you will not be hearing the shiur for me. The shiur will be given by Mashiach Tzidkenu, one of the Sanhedrin. If you shan't merit, unfortunately, you'll have to meet me again. Until next week, Kol Tov, good afternoon.
Thank you, Rabbi.